What's up, everybody? My name is CJ Garcia, and this is the Word of Mouth Podcast, the podcast that is here to help equip and to motivate you to get the word in your mouth. Come on, somebody. What's up, everybody? I'm back again, this time in Arkansas, otherwise known as Arkansas. I'm out here with my good friend, my really good friend, Pastor Jesus Mejia, and this time I'm doing a little bit of a different episode. We were going to do this episode at his church, so we would not be disturbed, and maybe the recording quality would be a little bit better than my last episode with all the wind blowing, but it's not that bad in here. But I guess his son locked his keys in the trunk of his car or somebody's car. I don't know what happened at their Arkansas, what is it, junior camp? Camp meeting?
Kids camp.
And so yeah, now we're riding down the road in his car. And I told him we were going to do an episode this week. And so we're actually getting ready to leave Arkansas today to head back to Arizona. And so I was like, we got to do an episode today. So here we are in the car. So I'm just going to rename it. I don't know what I'm going to name it. Go-Go Testimony or Go-Go Car or something. I don't know. But, man, thank you for coming on the episode, bro. I know I'm kind of forcing you into it by being in the car with you.
It's all good, man. Thank y'all for listening. I know it's going to be kind of shady just because we're driving and I'm looking at a map and trying to get to where I need to get to, but it's good to be here with you guys.
Yeah, you know what's funny is if you hear this beautiful British voice, it's from his GPS. Man, I'll tell you what, falling in love.
Yes, sir.
I said Pastor Jesus Mejia, but you just been pastoring for about what? Oh, there she is. See, told you she's.
I've been pastoring June 1st, 6 months. I was elected back
January,
in December.
Right?
January.
Yeah, January 1st.
Yeah, I was elected back in December. My first day as pastor was this January. January 1 was I was officially a pastor and came out to Arkansas, or a place where I've only had been here limited times just to evangelize prior. But before that, I never had stepped out into Arkansas, just passing through, going to other places. But here I am now. This is where God's called me to.
Yeah, man. And, bro, I love your church. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful church, especially in such a weird place known as the Bible Belt, where we're not used to this, but we have literally seen church after church after church after church after, like, and it was First Baptist, Second Baptist, Third Baptist, you know, all kinds of stuff, bro.
Missionary Baptist.
Yeah, bro. Like, what's going on with the Baptists? But no, bro, I mean, I think it's beautiful out here. This is my first time in Arkansas. I love all the trees, but it's just gorgeous. We've seen some rain. And not only was I coming out here to visit you and stuff, but we came to a Little Rock camp meeting. We heard Brother Urshan. And then we heard Matt Tuttle. And man, and we got to see, of course, the beautiful church was the first Pentecostal Church of North Little Rock, and I was thankful for that. But on this episode, bro, I figured, or we were talking about it a little bit, and I thought, you know what, you really have a good testimony. And not only that, but maybe we'll just lead into some things that you have on your heart or something. But really, if you want to share your testimony, because you didn't grow up in this thing,
You weren't, although that is a powerful testimony, by the way, just to let you know. If you grew up in Pentecost, I'm telling you right now, that is one of the best testimonies you can have, is how God kept you.
That's right.
But, man, just share, like, a little bit about where you come from, you know, your background, you and your wife, your, you know, what was going on, what really brought you into this thing.
Hey, man, yes, sir. First of all, I'd like to say welcome to Word of Mouth. It's good to be here with you guys. It's good to be a part of what we call apostolic truth. You know, I didn't grow up in this, but the second thing I'd like to instill in this episode is that if I agree with Brother CJ saying that if you grew up in Pentecost and never left the truth, and you've been in truth, have been struggled before, that is the greater testimony. It's not going out in the world and trying to grab a testimony with life struggles or addictions or whatever.
Amen,
I'm here to tell you that that's the great testimony, that if you have stayed in truth.
Amen.
And have not tasted of the world at all. If I can just reiterate that and agree with CJ on that. So on saying that, I would like to share my testimony about myself. I didn't grow up in this. I am 43 years old. I'm a pastor now, but I was not a pastor, nowhere near a pastor, about 15 to 16 years ago. I was a drug addict. Every drug at that time, I got to say it at that time, just because now there's a lot of, there's a broad area of drugs. There's different levels and different types of the same drug. So I can't just say I tried every drug at and in that statement, so I say I tried every drug at that time.
Sure.
What was available? If that drug was available, I tried it. Except heroin, I never did that. And I'm not here trying to glorify the drug. I'm just trying to make it evident to those that do listen to this episode that you're probably dealing with addictions and things in life.
Yeah.
The reason that I mentioned those things in my life and the things you're going to hear today is because I believe that God can loosen you and break the strongholds in your life if you truly give Jesus your life. So years ago, I was a drug addict. I didn't truly believe in God. I believed that people would give themselves more, that the people would give God more credit than they needed to, that they never gave themselves credit for the things that they would do, goals that they would achieve. I would always say that statement in my mind and my heart, and I would tell people, like, don't give God glory. Don't give this to God. You did it. It's by your strength and by your ability.
Oh, snap.
And I used to use this ammo, and I would read the word just to, not because I wanted to know more of the word, but because I wanted ammo to come against what we call so-called Christians in the world that believe in God. So I would use the scriptures and ask them questions and ask them to see how and where they were in Christ. And when I would hear something that was against what the word of God would say, and I would use the scriptures as ammo towards them.
Oh, snap.
But anyways, I was stuck in drugs. I was addicted to cocaine. I was addicted to alcohol. When I mean this, I was on cocaine every day of my life. At work, I had cocaine. At home, I had cocaine. When I drank not just a beer. I drank possibly 2 18 packs of beer.
Good night.
We would just get down that way, and I listened to ungodly music. I'll mention some artists back in the day. I used to listen to Slipknot. I used to listen to Marilyn Manson. I used to listen to
all that too.
Metallica, all that. And I used to listen to all that, and I used to glorify it. I actually just testified in my church and said that I used to be the person that when there was a Marilyn Manson concert going on, there used to be Christians out there at the gates trying to preach to us with the word of God, and I would spit in their faces. I would tear their Bibles. I was that guy, because I didn't know this God that I'm about to tell you. So about 16 years ago, my wife was already in church about 5 years. She'd been going to an apostolic church, and we started drifting away from each other in relationship. It started getting, it's becoming obvious that we're going in different ways.
Sure.
She would come home from these Bible studies, and she would come on fire, you know what I mean? Speaking about the Holy Ghost, speaking about the Word of God. And, you know, me being a heathen, didn't want to hear nothing of that. You know, didn't want to hear being addicted. I was drunk. Didn't want to hear nothing of that. So I would try to use this ammo against her. And every time I would use this ammo of scriptures, as I stated earlier, she would always have a comeback of scripture. And if she didn't have an answer then, like, she would come back a week later after a Bible study and say, hey, you know how we talked about this? You know, she would give me scripture for it.
Bro, and your wife, like, your wife is scary, dude. Like, your wife is so scary with scripture, bro. Like, she knows her word, and she'll be like, no, you're wrong.
Exactly. So if you met my wife, if you've ever met my wife, she's pretty bold in scripture. She knows, she's very knowledgeable. She'll tell you, if you quote a scripture, she'll tell you, that's not what the Bible says. You misquoted it. And she'll tell you, I don't know where to find it, but I know you misquoted it.
Yeah,
and you
look
it up, and sure enough, there's one or two words that you misquoted.
Yeah.
And it's in the Word of God, it's important to state it the way the Word of God had mentioned to say it. But that's what we would do. We would kind of have intense fellowship, if I can call it that way, just because we would sit there and talk about the Word.
Yeah.
And I was not trying to learn the Word. I was just trying to have intense fellowship just because of the person I was. And she just used to come home, and I'd be drunk. You know, we used to be up till 2-3 in the morning sometimes, just talking about this stuff. She ended up coming home one day, and I'm a big history guy, science. I like facts. I like to study things just because I want to know what I'm talking about.
Sure.
And so one night she comes home and says, my Pastor Sibley, who's Jeremiah Sibley in Castroville, shout out to you, bro. Anytime he speaks of the Word of God or he does a Bible study, he gives you facts, like historical facts, scientific facts. He doesn't just give you the Word of God. He gives you actual facts of the world that portray and they blend in with the Word of God to tell you of the historical place where Scripture took place.
Yeah, that dude's smart.
And that's big for me. And just because I'm a historic guy, I like history, I like science. So she comes home and says, you gotta come just to one episode, just one time. Come one time to this one Bible study. Just come and sit down. If you don't like it, I won't ask you any ever again. So I end up going to this this Bible study, and he's talking about prophecy, and he starts talking about one of the trumpets, and this is what got me. And the trumpet, it talks about, and I believe it's in Revelation 8, and he talks about that when the trumpet goes, there was a bright morning star. And that star was called Wormwood.
Oh, yes.
And he starts to go off about how the word Wormwood is significance to history in our lifetime. And I'm like, what? So my ears are open once he says it's a place found today. So if you go into scripture, you go to the word and you go to see the historical place that he was talking about was the event that happened in Ukraine. Was Chernobyl. There was a nuclear reactor that went off. And if you look up the word Chernobyl, it means wormwood.
Yeah.
So now if you look to the events of what happened, statements and interviews and stories and state that on that day when that nuclear reactor went off, that the whole sky became dark. Mm-hmm. And it was like a star in the sky, a bright morning star went off. And it states that this star went off in Chernobyl, which is the nuclear reactor. And the scripture further says that a third of the waters were bitter, made bitter, and that many men died. So if you look at the events, even till this day today, if you step into that area, it's still full of pestilence. It's still full of bitterness.
Yeah.
It's still full of all that stuff because of what happened years ago.
Yep.
And he believed that was one of the trumps he was talking about in his prophecy series. And it just clicked on me, like he used a historical fact. So it got me.
Yeah.
So that one Bible study ended up to being more Bible studies every Tuesday
snap.
Night. So I got kind of eager to go, and I was still using it against the other so-called Christians
but not your wife.
Right, exactly, because there was something different.
Yeah.
There was something different at this church.
Yeah.
They used facts and they used the Word of God and they lived out what they taught.
Amen.
You know, and to me that stood out because I would go out in the world and see these so-called Christians that people that called themselves Christians. I don't mean this in a bad way. I don't mean to offend anybody. And anyway, my statement and what I'm saying, if you're going to be Christ-like, be like Christ. follow the word of God, go and read the word of God, and if the word of God says it, do it.
Yeah.
We are apostolic by doctrine. We are Pentecostal by experience.
Yes, sir.
So we're going to be apostolic. Let's listen to the word of God, and let the word of God convict us of that.
Yes, sir.
But I would go to these studies, and I ended up going, and I would go because there was just something different about this church. You know, there's something different. Something in me was coming, now looking back, it was coming alive.
Yeah.
And I still was kind of stubborn. I say that candidly, but I was not kind of stubborn. I was very stubborn. I still was stuck in my addiction, stuck in alcohol.
Did you ever go to any of the Bible studies high or drunk?
No,
that's interesting.
Yeah, I didn't. I kind of laid off of that.
That's
kind of
interesting.
But yeah, that is interesting looking back now. Nobody's ever asked me that question.
Yeah, no, I mean like that. Like, I wonder, it's just, I mean, that's really interesting. Okay, anyway, go on.
Yeah, that's cool. But yeah, so I end up going to these Bible studies. And one night, my wife was ready to get baptized. And
did she have the Holy Ghost at that point?
I don't believe so.
Okay.
So I was contemplating whether or not I wanted to get baptized. But I grew up Catholic, so-called Catholic. I said, I'm throwing my quotation fingers up. You know what I mean? I was practicing, a so-called practicing Catholic, and in the Spanish language, whenever they refer to Jesus, they would refer to Jesus as Diosito, which means little God, like or small God or young God. So to me, when I would hear Diosito, like I would like, okay, like it doesn't make sense to me. Like, why would you worship a little kid or?
Oh, snap.
So to me, I was like, whatever. But then when I sat in this Bible study, my pastor was talking about the oneness of God and he started talking about who Jesus is and that he was the child that Isaiah 9 and 6 spoke about. You know, it referenced to it in Matthew 1, chapter 1, 21 to 20, 23, where it says, a son shall be born, you know, and you shall call him Emmanuel, and it means God with us.
Yes, sir.
And the last scripture in 23 says that they called him Jesus. So this is the Son, you know, and if you do a Greek study on the word Son, it means the flesh that God became.
Yep.
So yep. All of this, I'm telling you, I like knowledge and I like to use facts. So to me, when I would hear the Catholics say Diosito, I was like, no, that doesn't sound right. So when I stepped into this apostolic church and they're saying, no, Jesus is God, I'm like, now that makes sense.
Yeah.
Because they worship him.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Why would you worship a little God? You know, I'm not going to just worship a little God. I would rather worship the real God.
And you know what's funny about that, bro? Because I grew up Catholic too. And I never felt right. And I'm telling you right now, when I joined this thing, like, I did not... I was putting, like, Moses and Noah's Ark. Like, I had no idea about any of this. So... But to me, my feeling was, why are we separating them, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost? I thought there was only one God. Why are we separating? I felt weird to worship three gods.
Yes, sir.
And so, yeah, anyway, like, it's funny that you felt that way, too. But
yeah, it's so broad when you come from a Trinitarian background, you know what I mean? Like, it just doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
It doesn't jive, you know what I mean? Right. But when I stepped into this church, not even knowing church, not even knowing truth, and this man is speaking to me about Jesus being God, and it just all made sense to me. So something started to click in my soul, and I was still stubborn, don't get me wrong. So I fast forward just a little bit. I'm still stuck in my addictions, still dealing with the things that I was doing. Me and my wife started heading more and more in the opposite direction. I remember even being at the corner in San Antonio on the south side, on Southwest Military Drive and Somerset Road. It's so weird because I get this vision and I get, whoo.
Yeah.
And I remember, yelling at my wife and telling her to not ever talk to me about God. Whenever you talk to me, don't quote me scripture. Don't talk to me about Jesus.
Wow.
Just talk to me, please. That's what I would say. But I yelled at my highest, whatever I was able to push at that time because I was so angry.
Sure.
But I remember being at that corner just telling her that not to talk to me about this God. Mm. And I remember after the fact that she never talked to me about God, but as I started walking around my house, there was scriptures all over my house. There was a scripture in my restroom, was James 1:21-23. When a man looks himself in the mirror and immediately walks away, like, it just refers to when you don't make changes. It's like when you look yourself in the mirror, you know what I mean?
You forget what you look like.
You forget what you look like. Yeah. And that's where I used to do my cocaine at. So every time I would lift up my head from doing the drug, that scripture was right in front of me.
Oh, snap.
At the door of my old house, it was Genesis. Sin is crouching at your door.
Oh,
seeking
snap.
To those who would devour. Like she had one at the phone about gossip, you know.
Oh, snap. And
so everywhere we went, there was scripture. You know, she never talked about it, but it's just, if you know Sister Pearl, she loves, but she's very adamant about the Word of God. She's black and white when it comes to the Word of God.
Yeah.
But she never really talked to me. We still had our intense fellowships of conversations and stuff. And I remember one night, it was actually the night before the day of Pentecost, 14 years ago. I was sitting in my living room. I was worshiping my God, a 65-inch TV.
Mm-hmm.
I was worshiping my God with alcohol in my system, with the beer in my hand. With an 8-ball of cocaine in my pocket, which I was all lit up that night.
Yeah.
And it was about 3 a.m, sitting there watching K1 fighting. And I sat there in the corner. My wife had just come back from some kind of event, some kind of thing that she fellowshiped. She had been coming from, and she was going to go to sleep, getting ready to go to church the next morning. And I'm sitting there talking to God and asking God, okay, if you're real, I'm going to get up tomorrow morning. I'm going to go to church. I'm going to be up before everybody. And I'm going to be up and I'm going to be ready to go to church. I don't care what the pastor's going to be preaching. I'm just going to go up to the altar. I sat in Bible studies. I had already been baptized in Jesus' name. Something had came upon me to do that. But I didn't truly believe in the Holy Ghost yet because I had not received it. And I was just very skeptical. I thought it was a trained language. So I told God that I was going to go to service that next morning. I was going to go in and if he was real, I was going to go up to the altar and repent of my sin like the Word of God said. I was going to lift up my hands and surrender. And if he was real, he was going to give me the Holy Ghost that day.
Oh, wow.
I put those parameters. I put those things on God. I placed them on those parameters, and I just said, look, I'm going tomorrow, and if you can't feel me tomorrow, I'm not gonna pursue you anymore.
Yeah, sure.
Wow. And I end up going the next morning, and I'm a guy that irons everything. I iron my clothes. So every morning prior to this day, my little boy Nate Mejia, who's I'm actually going to him to the campgrounds, right, because a youth can't lock his keys in the car. Nate Mejia was small then. And every morning he would come every Sunday and he would run to my room and invite me to church. Every Sunday morning he would invite me, believing that this was going to be the day. And that morning I'm up and I hear his little feet hitting the wood floor as he's running to my room. And him coming to find out that I was not in my room. I was already in the other room ironing all our clothes, getting ready to go to church.
Oh, wow.
And I can hear him. Where's my dad? Where's daddy? Where's daddy? He was just looking. And I tell him, I'm over here. And he comes to where my voice was at. And that can preach,
yeah,
by the way.
Yeah.
And he comes to the what's the utility room back in the day, and where I iron my clothes. And he comes in and he's off. Dad, what are you doing? You getting ready for church? And I said, yes, sir, I'm going to church. Him not knowing the conversation I had with God last night,
sure,
the night before. And he's just excited. He's running and dancing as any little kid would, as any child would if their dad went to church. If you're backslidden, by the way, and your kid's asking you to go to church, if you're listening to this podcast, listen to your kid and get back into the gates.
Amen.
But I remember him rejoicing, and we end up going to service, and I don't even recall what my pastor preached, I don't remember. I simply don't remember what it was.
Because that wasn't your conversation.
Yeah. And I literally just waited for him to be done. And as soon as he was done, he called for the altar. And I remember it was the right side of our old sanctuary. I went from the right side to the front. And I did exactly what the Word of God says, repent of my sin. I started telling God. Nobody knew my drug addiction. My wife didn't know I was addicted to drugs.
Oh, snap.
Turn left to AO46.
Lady, it's not your turn.
My wife knew that I was addicted to alcohol, that I was a drug, I was a drunk, but she didn't know that I was addicted to drugs. She had no idea I was doing drugs.
Yeah.
And I remember going to the altar with an 8-ball of cocaine in my pocket, still probably drunk off the alcohol from the night before, because it was 3 a.m. when I was talking to God the night before.
Wow.
Still smelling like and reeking of hot alcohol. And I remember lifting up my hands and telling God, okay, if you're real, I'm here and I'm surrendering it all to you right now. I'm giving it all the drugs, all the alcohol. Just please, please make it simple for me. You know, I've heard of rehab. I've heard of, I didn't want to go to rehab. Something in me believed that if he was real, he was going to touch me.
Hey, just do it.
Yeah, and wipe it clean.
Yeah.
So I went up to the altar. I repented my sin. And I lifted up my hands and I started feeling fire on my toes.
Oh, snap.
So I used to work in asphalt. And when you lay asphalt, hot asphalt on the road, the asphalt is anywhere from 300 to about 350 degrees. And you're on top of that asphalt. So I felt that heat on my feet, but 10 times as hot.
Oh, whoa.
And I was, what in the world is going on?
Bro, I'd be tripping.
And I'm just calling out to God and just telling him about the addiction that I had, the things that were going on in my life that I wanted deliverance from. I was tired of doing drugs. I was addicted. I needed it to function. And something in me was already being stirred up, as I said, by the Bible studies and by being baptized in Jesus' name. I wanted out, but I was just being a man, or how this Hispanics say it, machismo, trying to be tough and prideful and trying to not let God come in and do what he wants to. And I remember just surrendering to God, and God filled me with the Holy Ghost.
Man, come on now.
And I was just standing there, and I'm like, what is this fire?
Yeah.
What is this fire? And then my pastor, who was not my pastor then, lays his hand just right in the middle of my back. And as soon as my pastor touched me, that fire that I was feeling in my feet just flowed all through my body,
the
way out to my... And I started, which I know was the tongues, but I was hearing someone speaking in tongues so loud in that church.
Yeah.
And I was like, I was saying in my head, I was asking God, like, I repented of my sin. I praise you. I'm glorifying you. And why is somebody else being filled? And I'm saying hallelujah at the same time.
Yeah.
Come to notice, it was me speaking in tongues.
Oh, snap,
there was no one else in that place speaking in tongues, but it was just me.
Wow.
Everybody was just looking at me in awe because I was speaking in tongues, because I had been so stubborn and caused so much strife in my wife's life.
Wow.
And here I was, and my pastor was rejoicing, and our assistant pastor, Brother Jordan, was right next to me at the same time praying for me. My wife was right next to me praying and rejoicing. And I have a picture on my Facebook wall that I posted on Pentecost Sunday. So on Pentecost Sunday, God filled me with the Holy Ghost.
Mighty God, dude.
And I tell you, if you're listening to this podcast and you're dealing with pornography, you're dealing with an addiction, you're dealing with depression, oppression, you're dealing with something that you're bound to and nobody has no idea of what it is, and I'm here to tell you that my God knows what that sin is.
Yes,
he
sir.
Knows what that addiction is.
Yes,
he
sir.
Knows what's holding you down. If you would just truly let Jesus take over your life, you let Jesus just love you exactly where you're at. He's not wanting you to change anything before you come to him.
Yeah.
You just come to him. I came to him full of alcohol with drugs in my pocket. And I am the same as the woman at the well that came at to the well that day, where she was bound in addiction to men, where she had been with five men that weren't her husband. And she was with the sixth man that was not her husband. But she met a seventh man that forever changed her life.
Come on now.
I'm just here to tell you that God can deliver you. On that day, I'm here to testify. This is the testimony. On that day when God filled me with the Holy Ghost, I was addicted to alcohol. I was addicted to every drug and cocaine, whatever you want to call it, meth, whatever you want to call that drug. I tried it. I tell you, from that day on Pentecost Sunday 14 years ago, I have not touched alcohol and I have not touched cocaine
ever again.
So if you truly let Jesus take over your life, you will see the transformation that the Word of God talks about. He can deliver you.
Yes, sir.
You will be set free, because the Bible says, for this reason, God came to the earth to break the strongholds of the devil, to destroy, the Word says. And if you look up that word in 1 John chapter 3, it speaks about the word destroy means luau. It means to break. It means to loose. It means to loosen. And that the same word that was used was to loosen the sandals of Jesus, where John talked about towards Jesus. The same word luau in the Greek is the same word destroy or break, the same word that we find in breaking the seals that we find in Revelation. We find the same loosening in the scriptures throughout. This is the reason that Jesus Christ came to this world, was to destroy the works of the devil.
Yes, sir.
So I'm here to tell you that if you're rabbled, you're stuck in an addiction, he can unravel you today. He can destroy the chains. Break forth the fetters like he did that demoniac on that day. He can loosen the demoniacs and the demons and the addictions of you just by calling on the name of Jesus. If you've never been baptized in Jesus' name, that the name of Jesus, and being fully submerged in water, calling on the name of Jesus, can wash all your sins away, and God can resurrect you by the infilling of the Holy Ghost.
Yes,
I'm here to tell you, this is what changed my life. This is what started my journey that I was supposed to be, that God had ordained me to be from the beginning of time, because the Bible says that he meant all things for the good for those who are called for his purpose.
Yes, sir.
He doesn't mean to destroy you, but he means everything for those that are called. They're meant for the good, but we gotta just fulfill accordingly to the Word of God. So I'm here to testify to you, to tell you that my journey 14 years ago started as an addicted cocaine addict and as addicted to alcohol and so forth. But now I sit here and tell you that I'm a pastor.
Yeah, I know,
I'm a pastor and a preacher of the gospel. I've evangelized across the world.
Yeah, you've been to the Philippines and
Dubai.
I've been
several places. We went to the Philippines. We baptized 27 souls. Me and my wife have gone out there, and we sat in a church that was not even a UPCI church. We went to a church that is called the River of God. They believe in the Trinity. And we preached the oneness of God just as it was preached to me in a Bible study.
Go.
And we baptized 27 souls up in the mountains in the Philippines.
Yeah.
People were filled with the Holy Ghost. People were healed. There were significant healings and things that happened in the Philippines, all because of one addicted man that was addicted, God came and loosened the chains and has used us to go out and preach this same gospel that was preached to him. So this same promise is available to you. These same things, the same callings, the same ministries, whatever God has for you, whatever purpose he has for you, he has it here. And there's a testimony waiting for you to be fulfilled if you would just respond to the Word of God and let Jesus take over.
Man. Dude, I feel the Holy Ghost in this car, bro.
Yes, sir.
I tell you what, dude. And that's the truth, guys. Like, and the thing is about Pastor Jesus is that he's about souls, man. And that's the thing that is really powerful about this whole thing, is that ever since he had that God encounter, you know, it's like, okay, well, now, you need to go tell those people that are broken and yes, need sir. A God, because I did it for you, so you need to go tell them about me. And bro, it's, man, thank you for sharing your testimony. That's fire. The thing that somebody needs to know on this podcast is that, number one, if you're still, like he was saying, you're addicted or you got that secret sin, God, it's not secret to God, you know. But God wants to lay it down. He wants you to lay it down on that altar so you can be used of him.
Yes, sir.
In what he's got calling for you, man. And I'll tell you what. So now you went to Castroville for several years. You yes, evangelized. Sir. You did all these things.
Yes, sir.
And now you're doing a workout here in Gurdon, Arkansas. And I believe that God's going to do just mighty things here. I know that there used to be a church filled with like 100 and something. Things happen, you know, whatever. Things tend to happen. But I believe that God's going to use you, and he's called you to this place to yes, do a good work. Now, I want to talk about something real quick, because yes, where are we going right now?
We're about
we got a turn, right? Huh? Yeah. The last night we were talking, or was it last night or was it the night before? Might have been the night before. It was the night before. We were talking about how, because we're trying to, you know, also grow our church and stuff. But your church in Castroville, they just boomed, man. They just like, they started growing, right?
Yes, sir.
And we were asking about how in the world did that happen? Where did that come from? And you were talking about Bible studies. You were talking about how basically what happened to you,
yes, sir,
is the reason why they're doing this. And I'm not trying to knock any sort of outreach efforts or anything like that. But talk, if you can, just tell us how it works for you guys, how it worked for them in Castroville, and how you grew a church. Because I know some people sometimes are like, man, it's kind of a stressful thing.
Yes, sir.
But you just teach Bible studies, or how does it go?
Yes, sir. So the main thing is connection.
Yes, sir.
My pastor is about, he talks to the leadership, and he talks about us making connections. The pastor and the pastor's wife, they make connections with people. But the most important thing is that the congregation would make the same connections. It's called a touch, is what he calls it. He saw when somebody says hello, it's a touch. It's and when somebody leaves the church, they should be touched by a majority of the church.
Oh, wow.
Some way. Showing ourselves friendly. And
yeah,
so forth.
That's good.
So it's called a touch, and it's connection.
And did they do that to you whenever you
yes,
were there
sir.
Too?
Yes, like... sir. They were very friendly when I came into the doors. One of the main reasons Sister Pearl is that what went to the Jesus Church in Castroville was because she had encountered a church where the pastor didn't even know her name, and she had been going there for years. Like talking about 10 years. She had gone there with her aunt, and she had gone to one Bible study in Castroville. And the second week that she went, she was running a little late. And when she walked into the door, she said, my pastor said this jokingly, like, okay, we can start now. Sister Pearl's here. On the second visit, he already knew her name, because there was a touch.
Yeah, that's
powerful.
You know,
there was a connection.
That's powerful.
And my wife, that was very big, because my pastor connected with her, not just by speaking to her, but by knowing her name.
Yeah.
So what we're big on is, like he said, we're so driven, because my pastor's saying, and this is our saying too in my church, we're going to populate heaven one soul at a time.
Almighty God.
So that's the vision. And how we do that is by connecting with people. We go to Bible study on Tuesdays. He has lessons that he teaches every Tuesday. But on that Tuesday, we all learn. We sit in together. There's visitors that predominantly will not be able to come to a regular Wednesday night service or a Sunday service because they got their own church and so forth. But what happens is that when we would come together in Bible study, we would go out with the word that we've learned. Yes, sir. We've learned, and we would go out and we would be reading it, and there'll be conversations. The Holy Ghost would come into conversations outside of the church, in either in homes or in workplaces.
Yeah.
You know, and it was the Holy Ghost, you know, giving us knowledge so that we will be able to reach those beyond the church walls. So what became just a Bible study became an outreach because we started taking this knowledge and this word into the world, our secular jobs, into offices, into homes, dinner places, restaurants, and we would talk simply just about scripture. And what we found out is that people started, the spirit and the word of God started prodding them as well, like, where are you learning this? So we would invite them to the Bible studies.
Yeah.
So the Bible study just started growing. Or sometimes some people weren't able to go to these Bible studies, and it would open up a personal home Bible study where we would get the approval of our pastor, which is very important. Be submitted to your pastor in any way. If your pastor says you shouldn't do something, don't do it.
Come on, man.
But you come submitted in every way. If you ask to do a Bible study and he tells you no, be submitted. If you want to go somewhere and preach the word of God and he tells you no, be submitted. Don't do it. But if he gives you liberty, go and do it. You know,
yeah.
Be submitted in every way.
Yes, sir.
And that's what we would do. Be fully submitted to him. He would give us the Bible studies. We would teach in homes. We would teach in restaurants. We would teach in coffee shops. We would teach in different places because we believed that we were going to reach not just the world inside our walls, but outside the walls. Mm. And that's how the true church, it should be. We've encountered, we did outreaches of giving goodie bags. We would go out and feed people. We would invite people into morning where we would feed them breakfast before our services. And we would never really encounter many souls that way. If anything, we'll probably reach one person, which that's worth it. Don't get me wrong. But the most encountered people that we would get, the most people we would get would be people coming from Bible study into our regular services, because the hunger went from Bible study to going into midweek service, into Sunday service, because they were like, okay, I like this.
Yeah.
I like what I'm hearing, but I want more. So they started coming to regular services. And that's how the church progressively started growing slowly. We went from being 30 to 50 member church to filling up our old building to about 120 people. He kept the same vision. The leadership got behind him, fully submitted to the vision, doing everything that he wanted us to do, teaching Bible studies, reaching, making connections, because this is what gets me. This is what God has taught me that I feel led to share with you right now.
Bro, share it.
Connection is very important. Connection, touch the touch that we talk about. In conversation, asking for a number, or asking them, hey, let's have coffee, or let's go have dinner, or let's go have breakfast, let's go have lunch. These are connections. What am I getting at? Connection is good because it shows people that you actually care, because people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care.
Yep.
They want to know that you care. It's connection. And the thing is that what we get wrong is that we try to instill this apostolic truth by pushing our agenda, pushing the word of God on them. And that's the wrong way to approach.
Yeah.
The best way to approach is making connection first, because correction without connection is condemnation.
Yes, sir.
I'm gonna repeat that again. Correction without connection is condemnation.
Wow.
But if you make connection and you love them, and they know you love them,
wow,
then you correct them, it becomes conviction, and it becomes, oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. Mm-hmm. It becomes permission for them to repent. You allow the word of God to convict.
Yeah.
But we come across abrasive first and say, we're going to convict, and what you're doing is correcting without connection, and it leads to people to condemnation, which leads further people away.
Yep.
But if you connect and you love and you sit down on conversations, teaching Bible studies, just having conversations, helping them pray, helping them grow, and then you start correction, it leads to conviction. And is how the church, in the Jesus church, began to grow. We started making connections, not just in Bible studies. We started loving people. We started loving people exactly where they're at. The Bible teaches us that. The man, when Philip went down to the eunuch, he started exactly where he was at. He was reading Isaiah, and he didn't understand. He had no understanding. So he started exactly where he was at. When Peter went to Cornelius' house, he went to Cornelius' house exactly where he at. He had no understanding of what he was, who he was talking to. He knew there was a God.
Right.
He had sent alms, but he needed further understanding of who Jesus was.
Yeah.
And when he got revelation of Jesus, when Peter started sermonizing and speaking about this Jesus, the Bible says that the Holy Ghost fell and began to fill them with the Holy Ghost, and the conviction came upon them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost.
Yes, sir.
So I tell you, connection without correction. Well, correction without connection is condemnation.
Man,
be careful to connect first. Be condescending. Be aware. Connect with people first.
Yes, sir.
Make the connection first, and allow the Lord to help you instill that relationship.
Yeah.
And then you will be able to allow God to use you in order to help them in areas that they struggle with, because we gotta love people. People are going to come into your church, into my church, wearing clothes that is immodest. They're going to come into our church with pink, gray hair, green hair. They're going to come in with tattoos. They're going to come in not knowing who they are.
They're going to come in maybe not even the same gender that they were before.
Exactly. Yep. They're going to identify by a pronoun. They're going to identify by being something else. They're going to identify as an animal. They're going to identify in another way. But we gotta love them exactly where they're at. That's what the word teaches us.
Yes.
Jesus, I just finished a series in my church called The Portraits of Letting Jesus Take Over. And the thing it teaches us, the church teaches them, is that we gotta love people exactly where they're at. Because if we look to the prodigal son, the parable teaches us to love people where they're at. The Bible says that when the father saw him, When the prodigal came to his right mind in the pig pen, he said that he would just go back to his father's house, that at the least he would be restored as a servant. And the Bible says that when he started making his way back to the father's house, which is church, back home, the father saw him, which is his eyes. The second thing that the Lord spoke in that parable is that when he saw him, he had compassion. The Bible says that the Father, which is Jesus Christ, had compassion. That speaks of God's heart. Mm-hmm. The third thing, when he saw him, he had compassion on him. The Bible says that he ran to him, that God ran with his physical feet. That's what we got to do. I'm getting ahead of myself. But the fourth thing is that when he ran to him and he saw him and he was at arm's reach, he embraced him.
Yes, sir.
And the Bible says that when he embraced him, he gave him a holy kiss. Which, when you do a study, a holy kiss in Jewish tradition was a way of telling the person, welcome to my house.
Yeah, yeah.
Welcome back, you know. And the last thing is that when the prodigal was in the pig pen, he said this statement: at least I will be restored as a servant. But when you find in the Bible, the Lord, the Father says, give him a new robe. He took the old garment off, put a new garment on. He gave him the signet ring of Jesus name. And then it tells us that he asked for a pair of new shoes. And if you do a study, when you would go into a home or you would go into the town in the market, you would find the only way you can tell who was an owner of a home or a master or someone that had authority in a home was by looking at their feet. Because the people that were owners of a home or a master, they had shoes on, but the ones that were servants were barefooted.
Wow.
So when the father said, give him a pair of new shoes, he was telling him, his son, and he's telling you today, that he's here to restore you, not just a servant, but to fully restore you back to where you first left off.
Jesus.
So if you're a minister, if you're backslidden, your ministry is still waiting.
Yes.
Because the gifts of God are given without repentance.
Yes, sir.
They have been given. He doesn't take back what he's given you. He restores it all. And if we're going to be the church, we got to be like the Father. We got to see them when they come in. And we got to have compassion with our heart. And when we have compassion with our heart, we got to run to them. And we got to welcome them and embrace them. And we got to welcome them, not giving them a holy kiss. I'm not getting weird. But we got to welcome them into the church.
Yep.
And allow the Lord to change their old garment and place the new garment back on. and put the signet ring of Jesus' name baptism back on him, washing away of repentance, and letting them be restored, not just as a servant, but being fully restored to who they truly are. This is how the church is going to truly be built.
Yes,
this
sir.
Is how we instilled growth at the Jesus Church back home. We love people. We love them exactly where they're at. If they've been in church or they've been out of church or they've never been to church, we love people exactly where they're at. We embrace them. And that is how the church began to grow. We did not let go of apostolic truth. We did exactly what Jude talks about. We held on to truth. And we reached down as far as we could, snatching them out of the fire.
Yes, sir.
And we loved them. We held on to the apostolic doctrine.
Yes,
we stayed in truth. We stayed in here. But we love people exactly where they're at.
Yep.
Because they're searching.
Yep.
They're searching for a love that the world cannot give them.
Yep.
And we must be the church.
Yes,
we must
sir.
Be the church to love them where they're at. Because if it wasn't for that love, this pastor who used to be a drug addict, this pastor who used to be an alcoholic, this pastor that grew up in the worst parts of San Antonio on the west side where there was prostitutes in every corner.
Wow.
Who was poor, who didn't have shoes, who didn't have clothes. This pastor would have never had a chance if somebody didn't love the way they loved me.
Wow.
At that church.
Yep.
And that's how we gotta love people, church.
Yep.
At any church where you're at. Because there's a testimony of a Brother Mejia waiting.
Mm.
There's a testimony of a CJ waiting. There's a testimony waiting of drug addicts and addictions. And there's people that are going to walk in not knowing who they are. And God's going to change back their identity to who they're supposed to
Man.
Be if we would just love them.
I feel like praying right now. God, we love you,
Lord,
Jesus.
In the name of Jesus, we praise you,
God,
and
we worship you, Lord.
We worship your mighty
name, God.
I pray, God,
that right now, whoever's listening to this podcast,
let this testimony,
let
this word, God,
to this word,
impact their hearts and their minds,
I pray, God, that you would touch
churches, God.
I pray, God,
let them be driven, God, by Bible studies. Let them be driven by love, oh
God,
and let them meet people exactly where they're at,
God.
In the name of Jesus. God,
we ask you, Lord.
Yes, Lord, in the name of Jesus, move and minister, God, and strengthen us, oh God. In the name of Jesus, touch a prodigal, God. Touch those that are listening that don't know this truth, and direct them, Lord, to the apostolic truth of your word, God. Yes, Lord, let them know that they're not far addicted, God, that you are there waiting for them as you waited for the prodigal son. You're there waiting at the well as you waited for the woman, God. You take detours, God, to come to us. You go through a storm as you did the demoniac, oh God. Yes, Lord, God, in the name of Jesus, I praise you and I worship you, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Man, all I'm saying is if you can't feel the Holy Ghost right now, then but check yourself, man. The Holy Ghost is moving. Thank you, Pastor Mejia, for sharing your testimony. Thank you for allowing me to interview you in your car. And
yes, sir.
And I really pray for those of you that are listening to this podcast. If you have any questions, if you want to contact Brother Mejia and maybe talk to him or say, man, you know, give him a word of encouragement. Say, hey, your testimony touched my life. You can find him on Facebook as Jesus Mejia, and you can't miss him. I mean, he's a lovable, dark-headed. No, I'm just kidding. But no, and if you want to reach out to him, if you also want to reach out to me, you can find me, of course, on Instagram. You can message us on Word of Mouth Podcast, or you can go to my personal Facebook or Instagram, CJ Garcia or Colton Garcia. Actually, Facebook made me change that, bro.
Yes, sir.
But as always, I just want to also reiterate, if you've never repented of your sins and be baptized in Jesus' name or filled with the Holy Ghost and you want that with you for your life, the Bible calls us to do that. And I'm not going to just go off on what, because Brother Mejia hit it right on point. And but if you have, like I said, if you have any more questions, please contact us. Of course, always thank you for listening to us. And I make everybody do this with me, bro, so you're going to have to say it. We'll just say right here at the closing, come on, somebody, because that's—I mean, you say it all the time,
yes,
bro. Come on, somebody. So it's like such a big saying around me and my friends. But
yes,
as always, come on, somebody.